does anyone want to win this game, Ben?
The pitch to Jano, swinging a line drive, base hit into left field. Chapman's coming to the plate. The throw by Happ on a bounce, not in time! Danny Jansen delivers for the Blue Jays twice tonight. He brings them to life and he sends them home. It was Danny Jansen's three-run bullet that got the Blue Jays on the board, got them back into the ball game, and on the very first pitch that he sees in the 11th, he sends home Chapman, and he delivers a walk-off winner for the Toronto Blue Jays here at Rogers Center. 5-4 is the final score.
They did it. The streak is over. We're up the roller coaster again. Justin Cuthbert and Ailish Forfar on the Fan Morning Show. It's Text Line Tuesday. I hope the texts are a little more positive this time around. The Blue Jays win thanks to clutch king Danny Jansen.
Yeah, that was a big moment.
Yeah, you think?
It was. It felt like we were pulling teeth in terms of like trying to right the ship.
Yeah.
And that was a bit of a long slog of a game.
Look like they were going to be turning the way of the Blue Jays.
No, it looked like the maximum amount of convincing is what was required for that to actually happen. But all in all, I mean, it was a departure from what we saw on the weekend. Mm-hmm. Even just like body language stuff, hat shaking.
The hat shaking is a new one for me.
General positivity.
Never done that.
You could tell there was like a mandate.
Shake these hats.
We're gonna
okay?
be a little more positive tonight. In order to do that, we're gonna shake some hats. I don't know about requesting the hat shake from the batter's box, to be honest.
Hey, if it works, it works.
It did work.
They won a game in the cursed red jerseys. Hmm? That was a departure from their regular strategy. Jose Barrios requested to wear the red jerseys. And as soon as I saw that, I said, oh, no. They're throwing in the towel. It's the Cubs. You just throw on the red jerseys. It was confusing, though, because Cubs jerseys are like literally the Blue Jays. So sometimes you're like, wait, what? Mm-hmm. But okay, so they win a game in the red jerseys. They look drastically improved on defense. They looked more dialed in body language-wise. The game basically feels a bit out of reach when it's 4-0. I don't think the confidence level of Blue Jays Nation was high at that point.
No.
Yet they find a way. And teams that find a way have character, maybe. These are me pulling some conclusions together. They've found maybe something within themselves.
Or a lot of randomness. Yeah. Or a lot of randomness in the game. But we were talking about how they like needed one moment. Mm-hmm. And the Danny Jansen three-run home run was a huge moment, you know, for a second there. But then I think they had 9 outs to play with after mm-hmm. Danny Jansen hit that home run, because I think there were none out in the 7th. So lots of game. Third of the game left to get one run, tie the game. Like, that was a sudden change. We were talking about that yesterday type of thing. But then those outs started going real fast. I think 5 quick outs, basically. Mm-hmm. Did nothing with that 9 outs that they had to play with in order to tie the game. And then all of a sudden it happened. So it was this moments that came really out of nowhere after what was squandered base runner after squandered base runner. Like, it was, they were really telling the same story once again. Mm-hmm. But they came up with the 2 moments and I guess the 3rd moment in extra innings.
You got to give the bullpen credit for that, though. Bass, Simber, and Romano each pitched scoreless innings of relief, and then Garcia with
tremendous
a runner on second base, 2 really strong innings of relief.
Fortunate on the bow play.
Yeah.
But I mean, he definitely did his job.
100%.
Love the extra innings format, by the way. I haven't had a chance to say that on here.
I mean, to speed things up.
It was still a long game. Like, that could have easily been 16, 17 innings.
You are not as accustomed to these late sports watching evenings as it is not part of your daily job.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to the grind where you're like, just hurry up.
Yeah. It takes on a bit of a different tenor, I guess.
But to have like, the success at the end of it, it's worth it.
Certainly. Mm-hmm. Certainly. To talk about something different, to have a little bit more of a Jays were positive, now we can be positive.
That's right. I'm always positive.
But I do like the immediate action that the extra innings format does provide.
Decisions have to be made. You got to be, as I said, extremely dialed in.
It's more strategic, other than just sending a reliever out there to throw smoke.
That's right. Biggest thing that I circled immediately was they had just gone 10 straight games with errors. The defensive plays were something that we really talked about yesterday. It led to discussions about where they dialed in, where they prepared, where's the level of urgency. There were some really, really important defensive plays. Obviously, George Springer. Tapia has a really good double play. There was some significant improvements in that sense. It looked like they had maybe had that conversation that we had alluded to possibly about really picking it up and playing with something to prove.
And just being like mindful all the time, because mm-hmm. that the defense was, I actually thought they started a little bit shaky, could be misremembering mm-hmm. a little bit. But all of a sudden, they were dialed in defensively, and there were several moments. You mentioned, I think, the Tapia double play throw. Mm-hmm. Like, they had not only good defensive play during the game, but defensive plays that limited damage, maybe prevented run scoring. Mm-hmm. And in a 4-0 game, or a game that's trending towards 4-0, it could easily get to 6-7, 8-0, and then there's no chance for a couple moments to make up the ground that's already been lost. So being aware at all times, which is something that waned, I guess, over the weekend, prevented the game from getting out of hand. And that's a big part of the reason why they won as well. Like, lots of things you can point to. I think Matt Chapman led on both in both regards. But, you know, the comeback started before they scored runs, when they were able to prevent some runs with their defensive play.
That extra innings as well, to be able to pull that out. Bad slide by Kirk. A fly ball not mm-hmm. caught. Atrocious bunting. A lesson on how not to bunt by Santiago Espinal.
Yeah.
And you still are able to find a way to win. A little bit of luck. We shouldn't be really planning the parade about going to extra innings with the Chicago Cubs. But nonetheless, as they said post-game, very, very important win for this team. That can't be stated enough. You're putting together start of possibly a really important game tonight. Well, possibly very much so. Marcus Stroman in town. We'll talk about Stroman mm-hmm. and our memories of the Stro show. But all you can do is take something from this game. And we found a couple things that can spark some confidence.
Good things and things to work on, too. I mean, they were being out-fundamentaled early in the game. Like, situational hitting, just getting bats on balls. This Madrigal guy who wasn't a part of my consciousness.
No.
He's just doing things that you'd wish more Jays could do. In that, just making things happen, getting the bat on the ball, forcing the defense into making plays. Those type of things. But then those issues, I guess, came to roost a little bit more, as you mentioned, in extra innings. Mm-hmm. Failing to get down a bunt, squandering that first opportunity after a lucky, frankly, play with Bo Bichette. Not that he was lucky to catch the ball. Lucky that it
was pretty good, though.
Lucky that it went where it went, because that was a hard hit ball through the middle that easily could have scored mm-hmm. that run. And then we're not talking about a Blue Jays win, especially after what they did in the bottom half of the 10th. But, you know, there's still things you could look to as, hey, we can improve these little things and we could be even better. But, you know, if they gained 50% of what they lost over the weekend, it was enough for a victory.
50%.
Just in terms of, like, you know, the things you were ruining, the things that were just, like, so bad. They didn't clean up everything. They cleaned up half the mess, in my opinion.
Half. Okay. Could take half. Maybe they take another step tonight.
Let's get to 60.
Concerning, once again, that they can't capitalize on a pitcher for the first multitude of innings that has nobody knew anything about this guy. He's a young pup. The scouting report was, I don't know. People on the broadcast were like, I don't know what to expect. The bats being quiet at the beginning of the game, that narrative, once again, not being able to find a way, leaving runners in scoring position a little bit midway through the game. Whatever, you got Danny Jansen. King Clutch to come up and give the Blue Jays the much needed juice twice in that game.
Mm-hmm.
I love when somebody down the lineup, unexpected King, does something important for this team. I think that even gives more of a boost to that dugout. You saw that. Like, they were quite happy post game. Some people love to like rip on that. Like, oh, you beat the Cubs in 11 innings and you're celebrating like you won the World Series. Well, what do you want them to do? Like, clap and walk off and shake each other's hands? Like, I think that that shows a level of relief for this team, of course. I don't know. I'd rather see them be very happy and excited to win a walk-off in extra innings after Danny Jansen, of all people, come in clutch multiple times in the game, than to win the game and be like, congratulations, shake hands, get off. Like, I don't love that that's what people kind of jump to post-game. Or were you really doing the ice bucket shower? It's like, well, yeah. You know, yeah, you should be. I know that, like, we're not saying that the Blue Jays are perfect now and that everything's fine, but I think you got to build on stuff like that. Like, mentality in a team is so important, moving forward especially. So, celebrate.
Well, you have to feel the emotions as they come to you. You should be angry when things are not going well, and maybe they weren't angry enough after losing 3 to the Angels. And on the flip side of that, when you feel that relief, a cathartic moment, like celebrating mm-hmm. a walk-off victory in a game that maybe you had no business winning based on how you started and coming off the weekend that you did, you should be celebrating that, because that's something that could maybe carry over. If this is a vibe show.
Big time vibe
show. You want to carry over the vibes. And in order to do that, you got to celebrate it a little bit. But I think those emotions should be germane to the situation all the time. You shouldn't be down the middle on a loss. You shouldn't be down the middle on a victory. You have to feel it.
You have to ride the roller coaster with the fans, okay? You're putting us on the roller coaster.
To a certain degree, yeah. I mean, otherwise, do you really care? And if you don't care, you're not going to get the results, or the fans aren't going to get the results. The people that actually do care aren't going to get the results
that
they want.
And that's what we thought from this past weekend, was it looked like they didn't care.
Yeah. I mean, I think the reaction that's more troubling to me is not being angry about the weekend compared to celebrating a victory, especially mm-hmm. a walk-off victory. It's literally the excuse to have some fun on a baseball diamond is to celebrate a walk-off win.
It's text line Tuesday, 590-590. Also, you can hit us up on our socials. Justin Cuthbert, it's like J-S-T-N-J-C-C.
J-C Cuthbert.
J-C Cuthbert.
It's not difficult.
And Ailish. You know mine. Let us know. What do you want to talk about? Blue Jays? How are you feeling this morning? Paul from Peterborough. They don't ask how. They ask how many, to your point, Ailish. That's right.
Exactly. For now.
You might say the Jays had the juice. I wonder if that has to do with the corn song that I played. Do you know that? It's on TikTok.
You played a corn song?
Yeah. I'll show you during the break. It'll be stuck in your head forever. Okay. Atkins did address the media before the game. Obviously, our big conversation point yesterday was, what are you doing from 6 p.m. on Sunday to 5 p.m. yesterday, in that time where the team is away, there's no media? What the hell is going on? Atkins decided to speak with the media, which is alone. It's kind of a decision. He was confident that the Jays are in a good spot due to accountability that he sees the players taking.
Yeah, I think, you know, even in my role, obviously, and as we watch baseball and watch a lot of it, it can become easy to fall in the trap of expecting perfection from human beings, which just isn't going to happen. So we have the benefit of seeing under the hood and get to see, and you do as well, to see the work that goes in on a daily basis, their preparation, their conversations about accountability, and that gives me a great deal of confidence in where this team is.
There certainly needed to be some accountability from Sunday to Monday. I wish we'll one day know what happened. Did they just go their separate ways? Did a leadership be portrayed in that locker room? Was it from Schneider? Was it from somebody that is an important member of this team? We won't know, but accountability for the way they played, Ross Atkins thinks that they are showing accountability to this season.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can feel different about those comments now as opposed to yesterday. Like, it felt like things were, I don't know, red alert. But it felt urgent. You know, you're talking about what you have to do over that 20-hour time period or whatever it was between games. That could change something. And, like, the need for flipping tables or whatever. But, like, Ross Atkins, as robotic as ever.
He says a lot without really saying a lot.
Yeah, and sort of, like, hyperbolizing. Like, I don't know. Maybe the question was something about perfection, but no one's perfect. The team is not going to be perfect. Mm-hmm. We understand that there are going to be ups and downs. There's going to be drop balls. There's going to be this and that, whatever. But, like, you can kind of just say with fewer words, like, we need to be better, and mm-hmm. we can play better. Our standard is way higher. What you saw in New York is closer to what we are and what we can be and what we will be. And I have full confidence that we are going to meet that standard and maintain that standard again. Doesn't mean they're going to be perfect, because obviously, I mean, that's just a cop out a little bit.
That answer reminded me of when I'm trying to hit the word count on an essay in college.
Yeah.
You're saying the same thing in many ways. You're like, wait, just like to reiterate my point in summation, added longer words, thesaurus.com. You did the space. Did you ever do the period trick?
Oh, this 1.25 spacing or whatever?
If you're a kid listening or a parent, you want to help your kids hit the word count.
Bump that up to 1.35.
You control F all the periods in the doc, and you make them significantly larger in size. Nobody knows.
Oh, okay? The periods.
The periods. So you can do it with the spaces too, but you control F. You find all the periods, the commas, exclamation points, whatever you want. And you make them a little bit bigger, and you add at least half a page.
Wow.
Not saying I ever did that. See, I just know.
Here's a bit of the contradiction here. Is that you're pulling those stunts at Dartmouth?
No. My second degree. I would never.
This is only for the Canadian education system?
I was quite educational at that point.
Okay.
No, I'm just giving free tips out to the listeners, you know? Maybe some of you are doing a thesis right now.
And Ross Atkins could probably teach a class in spreading out the message as much as possible, saying as little as possible. But really, this is a prerequisite to these jobs. Mm-hmm. Like, somewhere, if we're talking spacing and resumes and whatever, you know, with a little skills section, saying nothing is at
proficient
the bottom.
Proficient in Microsoft Excel, Microsoft Word, Microsoft PowerPoint. Yeah. I've done all those things.
And saying little. I just don't understand it sometimes. And every team does it. Leafs do it. I haven't been around the Raptors, but the Raptors probably don't. Mm-hmm. Actually, maybe Raptors a little bit less.
I think they'd probably be lowest on my...
Probably. But again, I think you can be very succinct and be powerful and not be controversial at all and just say, our standard is higher than the weekend. We saw it within the last week, mm-hmm. and we're going to see it again, and we're going to maintain it. And you're giving out confidence, but you're also trying to spread confidence within your group when you have the confidence in them. But they won the game, so.
He spoke. We got lots of Ross Atkins clips. Let me toss them at you and you can grade the answer. He sees something different than what the fans see, possibly, and we are coming from a media fan stand. All the people listening, text line 590-590. None of us are in that locker room. Ross Atkins sees something that we don't.
I'm fortunate to see the conversations they're having, which, you know, sharing the details of those would not be fair to them, but how they're talking about pushing things forward and being better, how they can be better individually and collectively. And, I think that's the key. If we can continue to focus on our collective success and our collective setbacks and not be finger pointing and focusing too much on when we do have a mental lapse. And that's a fair point. You know, I know fans know where they're not going to be perfect. But, you know, understanding that what goes in on a daily basis and their preparation, their routines, and them, you know, counting on one another is powerful. And we're fortunate to see more of the detail than some of the fans are.
A little better.
A little better? Okay. And once again, saying like they're not going to be perfect. Nobody wants them to be perfect. We would just like to limit the errors, 10 straight games of errors that are like, what are like bonehead errors, you know, lack of effort errors, lack of accountability during the game too. Like nobody's coming over to the dugout to say, pick it up. Like, I don't care if this is a clip that's going to be played on Sportsnet of me getting not in someone's face, but ruffling some feathers because it needs to be done. That's what I view accountability and things that we can't see. Maybe that's happening behind scene, closed doors, but.
Yeah, it kind of makes you think like, okay, things are happening behind the scenes. There's also like a little restlessness, a little bit of tension behind the scenes if you're alluding to discussions that you're privy to behind the scenes. But I think that's like one of the big problems that we were talking about yesterday is like they don't know how to deal with this situation yet. And if you're trying to figure out even how to react to the situation that you're having trouble finding comfort within, like you might not be there yet. You might not be at the point where you are ready to handle competitiveness and the stretch run and being a legitimate postseason team and getting through adversity. Like these are the things we talked about yesterday. We don't believe necessarily that they're going to be able to come up with the answers. And that might be half of that might be roster construction.
It's like 127 games into the season. If you can't figure that out yet, that's alarming.
It might not be in your within your capabilities this year. And I think maybe the issue is that there was a belief it would be, and they're having trouble grasping with the fact that it's not there.
And that's a failure to construct a proper team with the pieces that you need to be a World Series contender that everybody believed you were.
And it might be an expectations thing. Like maybe they failed with their accuracy in terms of their expectations. I mean, we all remember the line at the beginning of the year, this is going to be a movie, right? And, you know, I don't think anything has met the expectations of maybe the top of the food chain, including their own performance of their teammates, performance of the front office, performance of their manager early on. Like a lot of things haven't met expectations. And I think this whole situation is just like grappling with that. But again, that might be way like that's if we heard Ross Atkins say that, we'd be like, what are you talking about? Because you're supposed to have a confident front. You're supposed to present confidence. And I think that's what Ross Atkins was trying to do. But again, if you're a team, as we were talking about, that sort of twists in the wind and you catch a heater, then maybe you can capture that confidence. I just think they just don't have it right now. They're trying to figure out exactly who they are.
Speaking of confidence, the guy who was extremely confident for the Toronto Blue Jays making his return tonight, Mark Stroman. He's going to be on the mound. Looney Dogs, Kevin Gausman.
You going?
I would be going to this game had we not chosen to have our fantasy football draft tonight at 8 p.m. And I know that I could potentially draft from the seats using free Rogers internet at the Rogers Center. But I don't really want to do that. I'm nervous because this is going to be a very important league to be in. It's the 590 fantasy football league. Do I want to have the looming feeling of, oh, I shouldn't have just drafted at the friggin' Looney Dogs game? I missed, you know, what if I'm mid Looney Dog construction and it's my time to draft? Like, I know there could be some really big errors made. So
can't multitask during Looney Dog? Right?
I don't think I could. Like, the fans want to know my Looney Dog consumption. I can't be live Looney Dog media.
Do you feel
frenzy.
Pressure?
I feel so much pressure. I'm not ready, okay, Justin?
No, do you feel pressure on Looney Dog night? Not yes. For the fantasy football draft.
100%.
Like, but to perform?
Yes. I'm going to tell you this, though. September 13th, doubleheader on Tuesday on a Looney Dogs. Doubleheader Looney Dogs, okay? I will go to one of those games and I will consume Looney Dogs and everybody can just be patient. I'm not going tonight because I need to put my priorities together.
Do you know when you'll be selecting? Do you have all those details?
I am selecting fifth in the middle of a 10-team draft. smack in the middle on a snake draft.
I like 10 teams. Most leagues, 12, sometimes 14.
10's good.
I'm in an 8. My main one is an 8.
Oh, that's intense.
And the teams are so good.
Yeah, 10 is good because it's intimate enough that like you guys are going to be conversing quite a lot. But you got like a little, 8 is high stakes.
Yeah, you can't make a mistake, which...
You can't be doing it at Looney Dogs.
You can
because mistakes would be made. Anyway, we're going to see Stroman, the Stro Show, back at Rogers Center. Obviously, it was like a media frenzy yesterday when this guy arrived. I have no real problem with Marcus Stroman, but I really am curious to see. Well, yesterday they did a quick video tribute before anyone
did they
had,
show it on television?
I think they did, not live, because it was before. It was like when, you know, Blue Jay Central was on.
Okay.
They did it before the fans really piled in. I think maybe strategically. He's not like getting like a in between the first and second inning like video board.
I would give him that.
Okay, this is my question. I am very curious. 590. Are we overdoing video board tributes? Like, did Marcus Stroman deserve a video board
100%.
Tribute? Okay, that's great.
100% for me. And I'm with you that it's that we overdo them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know why Daniel Winnick came to my head, but like the Leafs were anybody. If you wore a Leaf sweater, you're getting an acknowledgement. And it's a little like but they
Leafs
set the
are a storied franchise.
Yeah. The Blue Jays are too.
I don't know if it's as much, in my opinion.
They just haven't been, I mean, they've been more successful in the last 30 years.
It's true.
For sure.
Okay, so you like that Stroman got.
Okay, so Stroman was a huge chapter. In
a very important time in Blue Jays recent memory.
A very
memory.
Important time in Blue Jays recent memory, but maybe the season that people your and I's mm-hmm. age will remember and
whoa.
A little bit of a gap. A little bit of a gap. But you're still you're still in the zip code. You got
the zip code. No way.
You're in the zip code. Anyway. You were at a formidable age during that time. I was
watching from the United States. It
was
so difficult.
Clinging to relevancy.
Yeah.
Does that make you feel better?
That's better.
Clinging to relevancy? Clinging to relevancy at that time. And we are going to remember 2015 for the rest of our lives. And I will, not as much as Batflip, not as much as David Price's first game, but the moment that we learned that Marcus Stroman tore his ACL was one of the more shocking, disappointing, stop you in your tracks moments that I can remember at the start of this. I believe spring training makes,
it was like a fluke sense. One too. A
little bit of a fluke thing.
Mm-hmm.
And his insistence on coming back, and Arden Zwelling, I believe, wrote a very, like, really great article about his comeback and what went into it. And him not only getting back, helping them lead, because playoffs weren't a sure thing for a very long time that season, despite how good they were. And he pitched crucial games down the stretch. He started that game 5 of the bat flip game. He was a massive, massive story, inspirational story of that season. And that season is what we are going to hold on to the most until there's a better season. I mean,
100%.
I think that's what I remember with Stroman. Mm-hmm. I kind of like stopped paying attention when things went south because I didn't really want to be involved in that. And a lot of people didn't choose that route.
That's right.
And therefore, you know, hold some grudges or some sourness towards him. But I'm choosing to remember that. Choosing to remember the effort that went in, how hard he pitched, and like intensely he pitched for the Blue Jays.
He's extremely competitive, and I always respected that. I always respected the drive every day. This guy was extremely passionate about being a Blue Jay. He was extremely passionate about being in the city of Toronto and building his brand. And I think maybe that's why sometimes he's viewed as a polarizing figure, because the stuff he did off the field and, you know, the way social media, and he was a very big personality. And, you know, sometimes he was kind of brash in the media.
It got to the point where it seemed like it was more about Marcus Stroman.
100%. But that's how he's always been. Like, he's still like that now.
Mm-hmm. And maybe we didn't know that he was like that before.
Yes.
And like Blake talks about the innocent climb of Marcus Stroman.
I think Blake should have that, like, trademarked that sentence.
He needs it on a t-shirt for sure.
The innocent climb. I don't know. He's been, like, he's contentious and at times in how he approaches talking and presenting himself. But you can't argue the fact that that guy didn't show up and push limits and really be a driving force of this team. Is it something that maybe this team misses at times? Sure. I don't know if Alek Manoah is going to fill the role of Marcus Stroman, but you see that same type of emotion at mm-hmm. times from Alek Manoah. I don't know. I think that I have no hard feelings on Manoah. I mean, Stroman. I'm excited to see. I'm sure tonight will be an electric factory. He's clearly not playing for a contending team anymore. But I know that tonight he's going to bring it. I think it'll be a really great showing.
On a scale of 0 to 10, what was the pandering level at when he was talking yesterday? And he's like, if there's any team I'm cheering for in the postseason, it's the Blue
Jays.
That's
the thing. Stroman knows.
He's very intentional.
Yeah,
he knows. He understands.
Like, oh, yeah. I loved it here.
I do believe he loved it here.
Oh, I don't disagree. Actually, I
don't think he's being too.
But that quote about if I'm cheering for any team, it's the Blue Jays.
I don't think he's being too disingenuous, honestly, but he's being almost overly honest. Like, I actually think he wouldn't mind if the Blue Jays did well.
I hope not.
But I think he's spinning it away to be like, hey, fanfare.
We have that quote.
That's Marcus Stroman.
Stroman rooting for the Blue Jays. You want to hear it? Let's play it.
Man, it's exciting. So exciting. Such a young, unbelievable group of guys. And obviously, we knew Vladdy was going to be the guy to kind of build around and to see everybody else performing at a high rate. Just to see Romano in the closer role. Like, those are all guys that I was just training with, guys that are asking me how to get to the big leagues at some point. So just to see them all at this level performing at such a high level, man, I love it. I want to see everybody winning always. And I'm hoping the Blue Jays figure it out and slide in the playoffs and do some really special things going forward. Truly, there's one team I'm rooting for in the playoffs is Toronto, straight up.
Straight up. That's the quote. Graphic.
And I guess it makes more sense because he does know these guys.
That's what I kind of forgot about is like he knows some of these guys that he was a part of this franchise during their growth, right? Or he's been following close enough that he knows some of these guys. So that added to the fact of like, oh yeah, he like really does have a connection. He just didn't just come here and play and not know any of the young faces.
I feel like the overlap's minimal and maybe he's making a bigger deal of the overlap than there is, but it is there. There's familiarity. There. I'm sure there's a lot of people in the organization that he would be rooting for.
Speaking of, he thought John Schneider was the best choice to manage the Jays.
I texted him right when it happened and said, I'm so thankful that you got that job and there's no one more deserving, man. Schneider's is a man. Like, Schneider's, I think everybody in the organization wanted Schneider to have that job. Just everyone knows the type of individual he is, how he handles rosters, how he handles teams. And I was hoping when that kind of happened with Montoya, I was hoping Schneider kind of went in that role and it happened like that. And I think he's going to be here a long time. Like I said, I think everybody loves him. He knows how to handle personalities. He knows how to handle different groups of guys. And yeah, everybody in the organization has a fond love for him. So I'm hoping he's here for a long time.
Everybody in the organization wanted him to be manager except for Charlie Montoya.
It honestly sounds like Stroman's still in the organization when he's talking.
Seriously, man, like, you know, he's
everyone
he's
in the
a
organization.
Leader.
I've got the pulse of the organization.
Yeah, I'm
in
the clubhouse.
I think he's exaggerating things, but I do think they're definitely genuine, not genuine intentions, just not, I don't know. Maybe if he truly believes 80% of what he's saying, he's giving you 100. He could have a future in media though.
I like the percentages you're using this morning.
It's all I got this morning.
He will definitely have a future in media. That is no doubt about it.
It might be sooner than later.
That guy's going to have a podcast the minute his career ends.
What happened to the rap career?
Oh, yeah. Can we find that during the break? Stroman's rap career?
I'm pretty sure doesn't he have like a semi-famous rapper friend?
He was best friends with Mike Studd.
That's what it
that
is.
That dude. I don't know what Mike Studd's up to anymore. But
see, while I was clinging to relevancy,
that guy was at every game.
Mike Studd wasn't on my radar.
Okay, so I remember his social media posts. It's like him and Mike Studd. Mike Studd and him here. Him,
I think
like,
he had a verse on
his
song.
He had a posse. That was it. And it was Mike's time.
But he had a verse on one of his
songs. We'll find it.
We'll get it up. So if it's not media, maybe rap.
Yeah. Good for him. Okay. A couple texts in about Stroman. I think video board tributes are overdone, but not when it comes to Stroman. He was a pit bull and had a great attitude on the mound.
Can't disagree with that. I love pitchers that have demeanor like Stroman, like Manoa. Pitbull is a great way to put it.
Like, other than Manoa, everybody else that pitches for the Blue Jays is like stoic.
Barrios, I mean, we haven't really talked about his outing.
It was kind of overshadowed by some other stuff.
But he it's so tentative. That's what it looks like. He looks tentative. And that's I mean, that's not why. It's a product of him not pitching mm-hmm. particularly well. But it just doesn't give you the confidence that a Stroman in his prime, Manoa now, would give you.
Zach from Caledonia. The song is called These Days Remix. On it, Zach. Zach's got that fired up. That's his alarm in the morning. He's like, yeah, These Days. Stro Show. Oh, no. Now Eric from Lindsay is saying the Mike Studd featuring Marcus Stroman song is called Shine. Controversy okay. Well, in the text line. Who's right, Eric or Zach?
We got some work during the break.
These guys are going head-to-head on the Marcus Stroman battle. Corey in Bowmanville. Let's not forget how mad Stroman was when we sent him to the Mets and not the Yankees. I forget the tweets, but there were some contentious.
It didn't end well.
Oh, producer. I mean, our guy Josh here behind the glass just said, they're both right. There's two songs.
You're going to need more than one song if you're going to make it a career, Marcus.
We're definitely playing that after the break. All right, so are you excited to see Marcus Stroman tonight? What's your fondest memory? Should he have gotten a video board tribute? All great things to ponder on the text line. It's Text Line Tuesday. Hey, by the way, congratulations. It's fall. Starbucks fall menu today. You a PSL guy? That means pumpkin spice latte, if you don't know.
I'm not. Sorry, I thought that was a tease.
I think that they are absolutely a disgusting
really?
Drink. I hate PSLs. I know JD loves them. It's like straight sugar. Like, it coats your teeth, and I feel like I need to go to the dentist immediately after.
As someone who doesn't put sugar in their coffee,
well, I
feel like it's there's no chance. But, like, I had this rule back in the day when I thought I was, when I was clinging to relevancy, thought I was macho.
Love that.
It's tough. That I wouldn't get a drink that they needed to have my name on it. Because, like,
what?
I'm just black coffee. What do I need more than black coffee? But I've entered the world of, you know, customized orders now.
Oh, you're exploring.
Won't go as far as a pumpkin spice latte,
no,
I don't think.
I hate it.
But, yeah.
Today's the day, though, folks.
Wow.
So you're waking up and so you're headed to your Starbucks this morning. You can get a pumpkin spice latte.
Do you think there'll be lines today?
Oh yeah, people are
like people will be
pumped
fired
for pumpkin
up for
spice
this?
Latte. Like there are people already waiting at the Starbucks at Mount Pleasant and Bloor, which opens at 7 a.m. because I try to go there often and it's
Starbucks
closed.
Have to open earlier. Not good for this.
Congratulations, this sort of we made it. I don't know. That kind of makes me sad. Summer's over.
It's a bit aggressive for them to declare summer over on August 30th just because they want to get their drink out.
Well, they're going to make bank, so it works. Summer's over 1 year ago. Pumpkin spice lattes came back for this season, but also 1 year ago, one of the greatest sports cons of all time took place. That's next on the A-List. Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Damn, that was Marcus Stroman on These Days Remix with his buddy, Mike Studd. I don't know if you heard all those lyrics. I know in the podcast, I'm not going to be able to hear the song, so go look it up. But I keep winning. Legendary comeback, ACL incision. Yeah.
Shout out for Josh Donaldson, too.
Made it rain in Vegas with the MVP, JD. Not JD Marcus. I meant JD listens to that. I was like, yeah, that's me. There's some good, like, it was not bad.
It was decent. Trademark. I mean, I've heard the athlete rap has been.
We should
far
do a segment
worse.
On athlete
far
rap.
Worse. It's, we could do, we could fill a day probably.
We sure could. Slow part of the season has unfortunately already passed where we could have done a. Yes. Who's your favorite collab? Allegedly, there's some stereotypes I don't like about my height. Trademark HDMH for life. Yeah, that's right. So I copyright. Heart doesn't matter. I mean, height doesn't measure heart. Heart doesn't matter. Heart really matters. Height doesn't measure heart.
Heart doesn't matter.
There's some good quotes. Cloudy base miles away, 14 lifts, 7 days. Can't lie. I've been on a mission to make every single doubter eat their words up in their kitchen.
Does he come out to these? Do they give him that?
Oh, he better come out to that tonight.
Well, he doesn't get his own
Well,
music.
Do it, Blue Jays. All right. That's pretty okay. cool.
Your rapping, by the way, is like you were a little bit more into it early, and then you kind of just...
Well, I got nervous. You know one of my favorite things to do is we used to do this on bus trips, is dramatic readings of lyrics.
Okay.
It's hilarious. Where you, like, there's some stupid lyrics out there, okay? But dramatized reading of lyrics... It's amazing. Maybe we'll sprinkle that in.
Dartmouth bus activity?
We had lots of time to kill, okay? Anyway, well, the rest
what
of
what would be the top of it? Like if...
Oh, God. What would be the top artist? Spot. I don't know.
Taylor Swift or something?
Taylor Swift is a good one, actually, because it's so silly, like some of the stuff.
It would be dramatic. No. I guess you're trying to make something silly dramatic?
I don't know. You're just trying to really be dramatic.
She's pretty dramatic.
She's pretty dramatic. She's coming out with a new album.
did that news break after the show yesterday?
It broke... During the night before we joined on the show.
Okay.
So you were
still buzzing from that?
No, I was not buzzing, Swiftie? Justin. I'm sure I'll listen to it.
Okay.
Anyway, A-List.
Now it's time for the A-List.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
What's up, baby?
Jay from Hamilton's fired up this morning. PSL's the only Starbucks beverage I drink. Bring it on. Go get him, Jay.
Do we have a calorie count, by the way?
I'm on it.
You gotta run the A-List here.
What do you think? Give me an over-under on calories.
I mean, it's gotta be 450 plus.
What size are you talking about? Grande? Which is a regular?
Is it grande?
Yeah,
grande.
Come on. 390 calories in your grande pumpkin spice latte this morning, Jay from Hamilton. You know what? You deserve it, though, buddy.
That's aggressive.
You've been grinding. You're getting up early, clearly, if you're texting in the text line at 6:32 a.m. Go get your PSO.
Equivalent of 2 Cokes, probably.
Okay.
Start your day.
You don't need to
Phil Kessel
shut him
style.
Down like that. 1 year ago, the greatest sports con of all time took place. Bishop Sycamore High School. The fake football team.
That was 1 year ago?
1 year ago.
That feels like a lifetime
ago. On this day, took the field in a nationally televised game on ESPN. Proceeded to suffer 58-0 pounding by IMG Academy. They really scammed ESPN into giving them a television show, a television game, where everybody thought it was like a legitimate thing, this team was an elite group with actual NFL caliber players. HBO announced yesterday, that they're going to create a documentary called BS High. Could that be even like the most elite name ever?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
It's going to premiere next year. With some incredible people signed on for it. Michael Strahan.
What's his relevancy to it, though?
He's going to be the project's executive producer.
Okay.
There's some other important people, okay? Anyway, I honestly thought that this was the best. Like, when this happened, I couldn't get enough of it. Not only was it, okay, this this team scammed everybody, but there was like stuff that came out where there wasn't even a real school.
No.
Like they didn't have classrooms.
How did they recruit the players?
I don't know. If that's something I never really did they pay them?
Probably not.
Anyway, we have the clip of ESPN trying to like, shouldn't be making fun of ESPN, but they went and they thought this was legitimate. They did like scouting reports. They had like that sheet that Buck and Dan look at where it's like, oh, this guy's going to play QB and he's 6'2". And they did the actual scouting on it. And then they tried to cover their tracks on.
See, that's what like, I don't understand. How could you, I could see it if it's like, okay, it's a high school. We're not, you know, we're just going to show up and do it and whatever. It's not going to be a big thing. This isn't college football Saturday. This is an NFL football Sunday. Like we don't need to put this tremendous amount of effort into
it.
But if you did any research, even on one player, even on the quarterback, just so you could say something about this quarterback, wouldn't you figure out that something's, I don't know.
Well, they figured it out.
The doc, I guess.
They figured it out mid-game, is what they said.
Bishop Sycamore told us they had a number of Division I prospects on their roster. To be frank, a lot of that we could not verify. And they did not show up in our database. They did not show up in the databases of other recruiting services. So it's okay. If that's what you're telling us, fine. That's how we take it in. From what we've seen so far, this is not a fair fight. And there's got to be a point now, Luke, where you do worry about health and safety.
I already am worried about it. I think it's this could potentially be dangerous given the circumstances and the mismatch that we have here. And quite honestly, Bishop Sycamore doesn't have not only the frontline players, but they don't have the depth in case something were to happen to their roster with maybe a kid or two here throughout the remaining 2.5 quarters of this football game.
Good spin on it to be like, they don't have the depth. They don't have any players, buddy. Like these are not caliber players.
I just don't know. How could you suck so many kids in to put them in a game? They're clearly going to get, like, it's just like strapping pads on random.
For the story, they're going to be in this dock.
I guess.
Like a lot of them have signed up the head coach.
It's like they go to a park and be like, hey, we got an organized thing. We'll give you, you know, we'll put $5,000 together. You can have a pizza party after.
I can't wait for this documentary because I need to learn all of these questions that we still don't have the answers to.
Yeah.
One year.
Any good sports doc, I mean, just line them up. Create them. Get the production rolling. Keep it rolling.
It's beautiful. Sauce Gardner.
My guy.
NFL rookie.
The reason why I bet on the Jets to make the playoffs this year.
Well, you're going to love this. Signed a deal with Buffalo Wild Wings for his very own sauce. So he's going to have his own signature sauce at BWW.
Buffalo Wild Wings.
Due to his nickname, it's going to be called Sauce. This is his ad.
I'm Sauce Gardner, and I love sauce. Sauce on wings, pizza, sandwiches, even sauce on sauce. In this football season at Buffalo Wild Wings, everything's better with sauce.
God, if you're not running to Buffalo Wild Wings at 10:01, what are you doing? Getting your pumpkin spice latte and rolling into Buffalo Wild Wing. For some sauce.
Do we have any information on what type of sauce?
No, this is? I tried to look into it. Unfortunately,
because I'm not sauce guy, but I want to like sauce.
It looks it to me when I've watched the video and tried to analyze visually on what that sauce was. It looks like a type of like a buffalo sauce. Like it looks like a Frank's Red Hot type of sauce, but I don't know the flavoring. Please stay tuned for more information.
So there is hope for me then.
Yeah, I know you're not a big ranch guy.
Yeah, any derivative of ranch?
It's definitely not like a creamy sauce. Like it's not a white garpar or whatever.
So I can get behind sauce.
I think you could try sauce. And in this video, this commercial, he has this diamond pendant on, looking like a sauce jar, and he actually opens it up and pours sauce out of it. It's this custom VVS diamond sauce pendant, and he pours sauce out of the bottle.
What's the process of cleaning?
I don't know. That's an incredible question.
Thank you.
There's so much we don't know. So much to learn.
So much to find out.
Sauce.
Bishop Sycamore.
Bishop Sycamore. Sauce. Great. We're going to learn more after the break about real sports. Not the place. John Morosi is joining us from Anaheim. That's early. What is it? 3:55 a.m.?
John's a trooper.
Insane. But he was there for the MLB Network Showcase game last night between the Yankees and the Angels, which, let me just give myself a shout out. I did a parlay of a Shohei Judge home run. Both of them smashed it. I'm rich this morning. I mean, that was felt like inevitable to put the two MVPs up against each other to get home runs.
On top of an impressive showing at the Women's World as well.
I'm on a heater.
I can't wait for the Wake and Rake just so we can get more Women's Worlds picks from you.
I have enough money to go to Buffalo Wild Wing and Starbucks this morning.
For a sauce pendant.
Ugh. John Morosi after the break. It's the Fan Morning Show with Justin and Ailish. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.